If they say the Christ is here or he is there, don't believe them, because false Christs are going to arise. And they are going to be very, very deceptive. They will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, to lead astray, if possible, even the elect.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, your message today talks about those who will be caught in the Great Tribulation.
You know, Dave, Scripture is clear that there will be people who will be left here to go through the Great Tribulation, and yet that will not be the church. You see, we will have been removed from that point before the beginning of the tribulation. God has not destined us for wrath. Yet those who are left will be the unsaved Jews and Gentiles. They will be the ones who go through the most horrifying time that man will ever see. Now, just because we, the church, will be gone, before you think this has no application, I would encourage you to stay through the message. And at the end, I'm going to return with some final thoughts to bring this home for us. Our text is Matthew chapter 24. We're going to be looking at verses 23 to 31.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
The first thing we're going to see today is that Jesus commands these tribulation saints, these Jewish tribulation believers, not to believe the deception that will come upon them. Now, you're saying, well, Greg, I'm not a Jew, first of all, and I'm not going to be in the tribulation. I know that God is going to take the church, that he is going to take them before this time. John chapter 14, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. How does this apply to me? Well, we're going to see today that these principles apply to us, that Satan, we're not ignorant of his schemes. He uses deception, and we need to be aware through the word of God in obedience to it by his power and strength so that we are not deceived. There are many other lessons I believe we'll see today. So with that in mind, notice first of all, in verse 23, Jesus commands these believers under his protective hand not to believe the deception. Verse 23, then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. Well, when is the then? What's the context here? When is the then that he is saying, if someone comes to you and says, here is the Christ, or there he is? When is this then? Well, in context, it's after these Jews have seen the abomination of desolation. They have obediently fled under God's protective hand. Remember, we saw in Revelation chapter 12 that God had prepared a place for them. Let's take a look at that. Revelation chapter 12. Wonderful portion. It was a blessing to go through Revelation on Wednesday nights. And hopefully for those of you who have been in Revelation, it makes sense how all these pieces are going together. Revelation chapter 12, we're going to see these commands are in the context of God's sovereign protection of these Jews. Revelation 12, and I'm going to read through again just so we can gain an understanding of the context here. Revelation 12, verse 1, and a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and a moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And any Jew would know that represents Israel because of Joseph's dream. They would know. And she was with child. And she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. We looked at what that meant. I'm not going to get into it today, but some of you know and understand. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. It's speaking of Satan's fall. He took a third of the angels with him. And the dragon stood before the woman, that's Israel, who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. This was when Satan desired to destroy Christ. And he did that through Herod, didn't he? He tried. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. We're getting an overview of Israel, and it's not showing anything about the church, is it? We're seeing up to that 69th week, and then we're seeing the 70th week now. Notice what he says. And he says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God so that she might be nourished for 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. The commands in Matthew are for them to flee. And God has prepared a place to sovereignly protect Israel. That's what we're seeing here. For 3.5 years. And notice verse 7. He'll explain a little more. "And there was war in heaven." This is in the middle of the tribulation. "Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down. The serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and all his angels were thrown down with him." Now, we know this wasn't his initial fall, because we know, like in Job, that Satan has access to God right now. He is the accuser of the brethren. But there will be a time in the middle of the tribulation where he loses that war in heaven, and he is cast out. And notice the rejoicing in heaven. And if you're a believer and you're in the church, we will be rejoicing at this time with the Lord. "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time." After this war in heaven, Satan is thrown down to the earth. And he knows his time is short, 3.5 years at this point left. And he has great wrath. And notice what he does, verse 13. "And the dragon saw that he was thrown down to earth. He persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child." That's Israel in context. "And the two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman in order that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time, times and a half a time from the presence of the serpent." We see that God sovereignly protects and takes Israel, those who obey his word, to flee. Now, there's all kinds of prophecy guys with newspapers in one hand and Bibles in another saying, well, this must be the great airlift or whatever it is. We have no idea what it is. It's just metaphoric image that God is protecting Israel and he is helping her get away as they obey his word. And notice what it says here. "And the serpent poured out water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so he might cause her to be swept away with a flood, and the earth helped the woman." These are amazing times towards the end of this age. "And the earth opened up its mouth and drank up the river, which the dragon poured out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." And if you were with us when we went through Revelation, we know that Revelation 12 is the introduction of Satan in relationship to Israel and Christ. We know Revelation 13 is the introduction of the beast in relationship to Israel. And we see the beast, the Antichrist, he is given Satan's full power and fury in the middle of the tribulation, and he puts out his effort to destroy. And they are protected sovereignly by God. But guess what? There are bad guys who arise. Why they are in protection to try and draw them out. And I believe that's what's going on in our passage. "Then, if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ. There he is. Do not believe him." These Jews are waiting for the Messiah, for Christ to come. They have obeyed the Lord. They have gone into hiding. They have 3.5 year wait. And he says, "Behold, if anyone says to you, here is the Christ, there he is." Jesus himself is warning them not to believe these wicked, false brethren who will arise as they are awaiting Christ's return during the most horrific time the earth will ever see. And Jesus gives the reason why they shouldn't believe such evil. It's the height of deception, as we'll see. Verse 24, he's explaining back in chapter 24, "For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. If they say the Christ is here or he is there, don't believe them, because false Christs are going to arise. And they are going to be very, very deceptive. They will show, as the scripture says, great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Jesus explains here that it will be a terribly great time of deception. There will be false Christ, those who are not truly the Christ. The Christ has not come back for his second time yet. Those false brethren who would point them to these false Christs. These false Christs who are performing great signs. Turn with me again to Revelation 13. We see the power of the deception during this time. It's so deceptive that even as Jesus says, if possible, even the elect would be misled. And the phraseology there is, it's not possible. It is not possible for someone who truly knows Christ to follow a different Christ. Yes, believers can err in their doctrine. They can misunderstand things. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. True believers will not follow a false Christ. Now, they may be tempted to go out of their hiding to see where he is, but they won't follow them. But then they would be destroyed at that point. Revelation 13, verse 11. And this is speaking of the false prophet after the beast is introduced. Revelation 13, 11. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. That out of the earth or the land, it speaks of Israel. That's usually what it means. And he had two little horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. Revelation 13, 12. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast, that's the Antichrist, in his presence. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. And look at what it says here. And he performed great signs, so that he makes even fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. Verse 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which were given to him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had his wound of the sword and has come to life. And there was given to him breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the great and the small, the rich and the poor, the free and the slaves, to be given the mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or sell except if one has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. And he goes on. There's going to be great deception. And there are going to be false guys saying to these who are sovereignly protected by God, the Christ is there. He's here. But it's deception. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, turn with me there. We see that this beast is full of deception and his false prophet, deceiving the whole world. But God will allow this to happen to those who are on their way to judgment. But he is warning true believers not to yield to the deception. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now I'm going to read the whole portion here to give you the context quickly. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering to him. That's God taking the church up. That's what we call the rapture. That you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect the day of the Lord has come. There were false guys sending letters with Paul's name on it, he says here, that you wouldn't be disturbed, saying the day has come. You see, if the day of the Lord has come, then that means they've missed him taking the church, which comes before. And he's saying, wait a second, that's not the case. And he goes to answer the issue of how there's no way the day of the Lord could have come yet. And he says here, let no one in any way deceive you, verse 3, for it will not come unless apostasy comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God and the object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God. This is the middle of the tribulation, displaying himself to be God. This is what we saw in Revelation 13, the beginning. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? Paul told the Thessalonians a lot in the 3 weeks he was with them. It says, I was telling you these things, and you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And I think that's speaking of the Spirit of God in the church. That's my impression. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. God is going to sovereignly allow this deception to be in its max to those who did not love the truth so as to obey it, to obey the gospel, the truth that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead, that we are sinful beings, that we need to turn to Christ and call out to him to be saved. But he says, but we should always give thanks to God for you, beloved brethren of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a difference for true believers. But back to our passage in Matthew, verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, these Jews are in hiding, God has sovereignly protected them. He has given them the ability to flee and get away from Satan. Satan has tried his best to get to them. He has failed. They are protected. They are being nourished for 3.5 years. And all of a sudden, there's these people saying, hey, the Christ is here. Behold, here's the Christ. There he is. Jesus says, do not believe them. Why? For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders. That's what I just said. To mislead, if possible. The way it's phrased is it's not possible. Those who were chosen by God, true believers, cannot be deceived concerning the nature of Christ. If possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. They're in danger. They're in hiding. They're waiting for Christ. And now someone's saying, he's here. Well, what are they to do? What are they to do? Notice Jesus gives his direct conclusion in verse 26. If therefore they say to you, Matthew 24:26, behold, he is in the wilderness. Now remember, they're hiding in the mountains, right? God has prepared a place for them. Behold, he is in the wilderness. Do not go forth. Behold, he is in the inner rooms. Those were like the little storerooms, the private rooms in houses. He's hidden away. Don't believe them. Why? For just as lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Jesus gives his conclusion based on the threat at hand. Therefore, if they say, you're in great danger. Therefore, if they say this, don't go there. Don't believe them. Well, why in context? Because if they were to leave God's sovereign protection, which he has promised to protect them for 3.5 years, they would be slaughtered by the Antichrist. And he's saying, don't go. Satanically inspired bad guys are attempting to cause these Jewish believers under God's sovereign protection to leave to go look for Christ. Sounds like a good thing. The Christ is here. Let's go. Do not believe them. Why? Because his coming won't be like that. It won't be private. It won't be secretive. It will be such as we will see that every eye will see. Everyone will see. He says, if they say to you, behold, he's in the wilderness, do not go forth. Behold, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe them. It's deception. It's deceit at its highest. Don't do it. His coming will not be secretive. Jesus explains in verse 27, for just as lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The coming of the Son of Man, it's the coming of Christ, but it's the Son of Man. It's God who took on human flesh. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Notice he says the Son of Man, and I think these Jews who should know the book of Daniel, as we saw in verse 15, they would recognize the similarity in the language. Daniel 7:13, I'll read it for you. I kept looking, Daniel's writing, at the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man was coming. And he came to the Ancients of Days and was presented before him. One like the Son of Man coming. Don't be deceived by the bad guys. He's here. He's there. They're going to show great signs and wonders. Evidently, these bad guys are going to be talking about the Antichrist and the false prophet, how they're showing all these wonders. He's here. He's here. Don't do it. Because Christ's coming will be visible and immediate, just like lightning, not hidden, like the false teachers and people are saying. Don't believe the bad guys, because his coming will be immediate and visible. And notice we have this statement, which was somewhat of an enigma to some. It was to me for a while as I was studying it. Verse 28, wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. What is he talking about? There's a ton of views on this. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. All kinds of interpretations, but folks, only one is right. What is it? I think the context helps us understand what it is. It was a proverb of the day for these Jews. And the proverb was, wherever you got dead bodies, you got vultures. It's a given. If you got a corpse, you got a vulture. That's just the reality of it. And he's saying, just as you see that reality, so too. We don't want to complicate it. Just like vultures don't miss dead bodies, they always spot them. You're not going to miss his coming. You're not going to miss it. It's like lightning flashes through. You're going to see it. And we'll see in a minute. Every eye will see. Don't be deceived when they say, he's over here, he's over there. Don't come out of your hiding that God is protecting you. God is protecting those Jews sovereignly to bring them into his millennial kingdom. He is protecting them. He is saving them. Don't believe them. And on another side note, brothers and sisters, this is another reason why I cannot accept misled, erroneous interpretations of some who hold to a theology that this all happened in 70 AD. It didn't happen in 70 AD. It would have been visible to everybody. It didn't happen. Christ's second coming has not happened yet, but he is coming. So in our passage, we see that God shares his word for their protection. We saw this last week. If they read the word and they understood that when they saw the abomination in the holy place, they were to get out of town, God would protect them. If they were living their own lives, having kids, whatever, they just didn't care, then they were in trouble. Woe to them. But they were to pray in advance, knowing that they were going to need to flee. And if they were paying attention, God would sovereignly protect them from Satan's wrath, as we saw in Revelation 12. And they would be protected for 3.5 years. But during that time, bad guys are going to arise and say, he's here. Don't believe it.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Matthew. And you can hear today's message again by visiting our website. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you said that Christ's second coming has not yet occurred. What should that mean to those of us in the church today?
Well, Dave, certainly we know that his second coming will be preceded by his coming for us in the church. And we need to be those who are looking for the blessed hope and the returning of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He could return at any time, and we need to be prepared, and that's his desire, that we would be prepared. So, brother and sister, are you living in a way that would cause you to be ashamed at his return? You see, we can get caught up in sin, and we need to recognize that the Lord's will for us is to be sanctified, to be set apart, and his return should motivate us to live in a way that would honor and glorify him. So as you think about Christ returning, I pray you would stop where you are today. And if you're walking in sin, that you would confess that sin, be made right with the Lord, and be looking forward to the glorious, blessed return of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.